It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Good morning here on the Declare Your Independence show with Ernest Hancock. Ernest is out this morning, but we're going to have a guest host. Andrew Strimmick is here in studio, and he's going to be talking today about the swine flu vaccinations and vaccinations in general, about the dangers of them, and you need to know what's in them before you automatically just believe whatever they're telling you about. You should go stick this shot in your arm, and it goes through your body and does all kinds of damage. So you stay tuned. He's going to have a lot of really good information to you today.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
All right, this is Andrew. You're back with Declare Your Independence on the Ernest Hancock Show. Filling in for Ernest Hancock while he's away facing the man. Now, last night, I want to continue my story. We were in the shop here making signs because we really want to target the support for the first responders, the firefighters. We want to target support for the nurses, for any, the firefighters out there. These are the people that are being made, being forcefully persuaded into taking the vaccines, and many of them don't want to. Many of them have said that the vaccine is deadly, that they know that the vaccine may not be good for them. And so they're worried about their careers now because it's being put on the line. What are you going to do? What would you do if your boss told you that, hey, you need to take this vaccine or you're going to get fired? That's the question. I mean, this is not a free society when you can have it forced upon you by your work or by the government. And that's the problem. You know, the jobs, your boss, your work, whether you work at a hospital or a government facility, a government job or any type of job, the only reason why they're telling these people to, hey, you need to take the vaccine or take a hike, is because they know they got the full backing of the government and that they're not going to get in trouble. Now, until the people rise up and say no, you know, and give enough resistance to this, perhaps they'll back down. Now, a lot of people say, you know, we got to solicit, we got to call Congress, we got to call our senators, our state, our governor. You know, you can do that and you should. But more than that, you must be proactive, because you're the one that makes a difference. And as my friend Ernest has always said, you know, you vote for something when you put up a sign. Every time he puts up a sign, every time you put up a sign, every time I put up a sign, every time I put a flyer on the front car of somebody's car in the parking lot with some information, that's my vote. That's my duty to the people, to inform the public. Look. You know, as an example, the bailouts, you know, senators were saying they were getting 1,000-to-1 phone calls against the bailout. Did that stop them from passing it? Well, 1,001 phone calls stopped them, millions and millions of phone calls. You know, every senator, you know, say their lines are tied up all day long. Well, that stopped them from doing what they're doing. And what are they doing? Well, we made a sign out here. It says support the first responders that say no to the vaccine. It has like the sign that we made has a nice little looks like a Transformers head piece on there with like little syringes and a little X, like kind of like a skull and crossbone. And it, on there, the whole point of putting these signs up is because we're getting reports. Sheldon from RP4409 did an interview with a lady nurse, a RN nurse here, and she says that in the interview that she was speaking to a police officer and she was real scared because the police officer said that he was training to go around if need be to forcibly vaccinate people or go out to your house and make sure people are taking their vaccines. Well, you know, the officer did say that he thought it was a bad idea and that he wasn't going to be part of it, reportedly. And now we are, you know, where we go from this. You know, Ernest is checking out. He's contacting the city mayor. He's contacting the Senate. You know, he's contacting all sorts of people and government officials. He's going to do a Freedom of Information Request Act if they don't tell us what exactly they're training the police to do. Now, what I want to go over is some of the states that I have documented here, such as from Massachusetts. I want to go over it real quickly here. But in Massachusetts, they pass a thing called an act relative to pandemic and disaster preparation and response in the Commonwealth. Now, and this is in the year of this is for this year of 2009, and they passed a law, modified it, and in here it talks about, if you get into it and you look up online, it actually says that an individual who is unwilling to submit to vaccination or treatment shall not be required to submit to such procedures, but be isolated or quarantined per Section 96 of Chapter 111 if his or her refusal poses a serious danger to public health. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the swine flu hasn't been that dangerous, yet there is a major hype about it, a major hype. All over the news, they're saying that they may have to quarantine, they may have to vaccinate, they want to prepare mass vaccination. Now, on the back here, it also says what. Now they will be given the local health, public health authority may exercise the following authority to decontaminate or cause to be decontaminated any individual, provided that decontamination measures must be used by the least restrictive means necessary to protect.
Most people believe that everything.
I don't know what that was. to be used by the they want to use the least restrictive means as necessary to protect the public health, and must be such as are not reasonably likely to lead to serious harm or effect of an individual. Well, I don't know how much more harm you could do to an individual than forcefully quarantine him or detaining him in a facility. I mean, do you want to be taken away from your house or told that you got to go stay here at some hospital or some other facility and that you're not allowed to leave work or pay for your go to work for such a minor cold? I mean, the common cold has been the common cold has killed more people, they report, you know, between 36,000. And those numbers coming from the CDC aren't always accurate because some of them are lumped together. So some people say it's, you know, there's a 51,000 number, and some people say there's a 36,000 deaths per year in the United States that die from the common cold. Well, only a few hundred have maybe died from the swine flu, and that's even questionable because how do you even know it's swine flu when they're not even testing? The CDC even admits that they're no longer going to be reporting the incidences of swine flu. They just kind of lump it together. So I want to talk about this. My wife, she was working with a kid, and this kid went to a doctor, and they said he supposedly had swine flu, and he got sick. And my wife got sick, and if it was swine flu, you know, it was a very mild case, and just by taking a little vitamin D and some colloidal silver and just some measures and good rest, she didn't even have to miss a day at work. And I didn't even get sick off of it. And they want to quarantine us for this? Now, I want to play just on the note. I would like actually to play the Massachusetts vaccination.
Now, Dr. Kent Holthorff, who is an expert on infectious diseases. Doctor, thanks very much. We're going to put up on the screen the classic H1N1 symptoms, and I got this from the WHO and the CDC. If anybody exhibits these symptoms, what should they do? Should they go to the hospital? Should they see their doctor? What?
Well, the nice thing is it's showing that the H1N1 virus is losing its virulence. So we saw this as it came through Mexico. It lost its virulence in that the symptoms were much more mild. And that's what seems to be happening as it's making its way back through as a seasonal flu. So basically, the recommendations are same as the seasonal flu. If you have a continual fever for more than 3 hours, call your physician. If you have recurrence of fever after it goes away, if you have a high risk, including small children, consider calling your physician. Yeah. If you do have, let's say, a kid turns blue, has blue fingernails, go to the emergency room. But there's no difference between who to take to the emergency room or to the doctor versus a seasonal versus a swine flu. In fact, if you had to choose, you'd probably choose at this point the swine flu over the regular seasonal flu.
Is that right? All right. Now, what do you think of the vaccination?
You know, I have more concern about the vaccine than I do about the swine flu. It's been rushed to market. There are high levels of adjuncts, which basically make it more potent, make so they can. It's kind of an unrefined method that they use. They had to use these high levels of these adjuncts, including
thimerosal. It's an antiseptic preservative, and hasn't that been linked in some cases to autism?
It has, and you look. It's been shown to cause autism in children with mitochondrial dysfunction. Now, and there is controversial, though highly implicated. And the problem is you don't know if your child has mitochondrial dysfunction. I also worry about children and people who have blood-brain barrier dysfunction or it's not fully developed, which include children, pregnant women, chronic neurological illnesses, and chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Right. I've seen these people have been devastated by these infections.
Right, would you give it to your kids?
I definitely would not.
You would not. All right. And in fairness, I've talked to three doctors in 3 days now, and all three have said absolutely they would give it to their kids. They intend to give it to their kids. They're going to take it themselves. But you say no.
I definitely would not. I've seen it.
All right. There you go. You got a doctor there saying that he would not give it to his kids. He would not take it himself. Why would you go down to the vaccination centers, to Walgreens, to Walmart, to all these places and take it without looking at what the ingredients are in this vaccine? Why would you do that? I got a lot of people around me. I got family members. You know, just I want to get my vaccine. You know, I'm sitting there going, look, it got mercury in it. It got adjuvants like squalene. What is an adjuvant, by the way? You know, let's look at what adjuvant is. Adjuvant like such as squalene is a polymer, it's an oil-based adjuvant. Now, what do adjuvants do? We'll get back and we'll find out.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
All right, this is Andrew talking about squalene here on the Ernest Hancock Show on Declare Your Independence. Now, let's get right into it. This adjuvant stuff, what does it do? What do they use it for? Well, you know, perhaps some of you know out there, but for you those that don't, what they do is they can, when they're making a vaccine, they only have a certain amount. And what say they got, hypothetically, they got one vial of vaccine made, they can add the adjuvant in, like such as squalene, and make 10 more, or however many more. Now, it's a multiplier for the vaccine. Now, some of the things with the vaccine, with this squalene, is that it's also been related, it's contributed to the Gulf War Syndrome. And what the Gulf War Syndrome was during the Gulf War, They start giving soldiers an anthrax shot. And to make enough anthrax shot, they provided the squalene, which also, as an adjuvant, also excites the immune system to attack. So, you know, it activates the immune system. But in doing so, it can cause the immune system to get burnt out and overreact. Because when the squalene, as I've listened to doctors such as Dr. Blaylock and Dr. Tim Penny have said, is that the squalene kind of goes in your body, coats your organs. It causes your immune system to, in effect, turn on your body. It'll start turning on your brain. It can turn on your organs. It can start deteriorating them. It attacks the nervous system. And that's because your immune system is, it thinks it's attacking a foreign intruder, which it sees your body as the squalene goes into your body. When the soldiers were given this anthrax shot, they started developing all sorts of chronic autoimmune problems. A lot died from this shot. A lot of them were maimed and hurt by it. I have an uncle that he was in the Gulf War, and he has a lot of problems with receiving a lot of vaccines. Now, was it related to it? I don't know, but he has a lot of medical problems. You know, he thinks that it was related to a lot of stuff that went on that he was subjected to. Now, the stuff that they stopped giving the soldiers this anthrax shot because of the problems, the doctors refused to give it to them, but yet they're putting many, many times the amount of squalene that was in the anthrax shot into your vaccine shot. And this is the way that they're making millions and millions of vaccines. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had enough ready for the flu season. So some of the side effects under here, besides that, it could develop rashes. You can get chronic fatigue, headaches, abnormal body hair loss. You know, it goes on, dizziness, weakness, memory loss, seizures, mood changes, you know, neuropsychiatric problems, anti-thyroid effects, anemia, elevated ESRs. You can get multiple MS from it, deadly amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. So it just goes on. And, you know, of course, Guillain-Barré syndrome. You can get affected. So you should take great heed in my advice into looking into this vaccine. It's very deadly. And one of the things is, why are they giving it? Why does so much of the population have to get it? I mean, normally in flu season, they go, oh, you know, get your flu shot. And they gripe about how there's never enough flu shots to be given out, but they never seem to use them all either. Because not enough people ever go into it. And now they're saying, well, we have to vaccinate for this horrible virus, this dreadful virus, which also contains in the bottled doses in the little vials, it contains thermosol, which is, according to information, can contain as high as 50% mercury in it. And mercury is also is one of the worst heavy metals that you can put in your body. The heavy metal mercury actually can destroy your nervous system. It destroys your cells, your brain. It actually can get in there. And when I've seen the science where they had like some brain tissue and cells, and kind of basically like the little nerves and stuff, and branches and stuff, and they have it under a microscope, and they introduce a tiny bit amount of mercury. And this just went kill what it comes in contact with. It caused like a chain reaction. And just think in your brain, you know, you got this mercury floating around. It's causing a chain reaction. And everybody knows that your mom, you know, when you're little, said, don't be taking that little thermostat that you got hanging on the wall in the little glass. Don't break that open. Don't be playing with the mercury. You know, and yet they put it into these vaccines, whether it's a preservative or anything else. They also have formaldehyde, aluminum, the way they culture the vaccine in monkey intestines and different, you know, they got all sorts of sick, gross ways that they have to kind of grow the vaccine, the virus in it. And also, you know, they're putting live viruses in some of these vaccinations, such as the nasal flu, nasal spray. What they're doing is they're actually putting a live virus in, and every time you take a nice little sniff of that little squirrel, that little nasal spray, and you're putting millions and millions of cells into your nose, and these live viruses, although they say they're weakened, are going to get you sick, and then you're going to spread around. Now, at my work, I'm kind of worried where I work at. It's kind of a big petri dish. I got these little cubicles. We're all enclosed. We got recycled air. And, you know, I don't want people walking around with this. I don't want to get sick. But I'm more worried is once you get sick, are they going to keep telling you that you take the vaccine? We'll find out more. Just stay tuned.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
All right, this is Andrew. I'm the Declare Your Independence show with Ernest Hancock. Fill in for Ernest while he is away. And we're going to be talking right now about detention orders. Facility quarantine of facility orders and quarantine to resident orders from Florida, and how this relates to other states, including Arizona. One of the things that I want to talk about right now, in a second, is that in Massachusetts they do have laws. We just went over it. To quarantine, but there's other states such as Florida, and there's a Department of Health, County Health Department quarantine detention order. Says here, by the authority of Chapter 381 and 252, Florida Statutes and Chapter 64D-3, Florida Administrative Code. It's what they call order. And basically permits them to detain under quarantine and transfer you to a facility, a detention facility. Now, there's three different orders. There's one for facility orders and one for resident orders. So what they can do now in Florida, I've read over these, is that if you have swine flu, if you're sick, if they perceive that you're sick, they can, under these orders, under the laws in place, that they can order you to be quarantined in your home, whereby you won't be able to go to school, go to work, go anywhere. And if, say, you violate that and you go, you get caught going out to the store and you're in public or whatever, they can put you in a facility. They can upgrade you to the quarantine to the facility order, or they can start off, you know, they don't have to follow any rule here. I mean, they could start off with any amount of measure they want, but they could also put you in a facility such, you know, if you're in a hospital and you become sick with swine flu, you can be detained there at a hospital under the quarantine until you take your vaccination. Under the detention order, you can be either, if you violate the residency or the facility, or if they feel there's a danger, which, you know, we're talking about people just coming up and saying, oh, I think there's a danger here. To me, that just doesn't sound right. That's un-American. And under a detention facility, they'll transfer you to what they call a detention center, where you will be quarantined, and you can stay there for as long, basically as long as they need you to be there. I mean, there is a certain measure, like 60 days, 90 days, where upon that time frame, I've read that they can release you, or it'll be upon review where the authorities in charge will either keep you there longer, or if they feel you're a threat. Now, they do say you have the right to challenge this quarantine order, may be challenged such through the petition and writ of habeas corpus, followed by the procedures set out in one of the rules in their civil procedures, or by petitioning. Now, if you do not comply with it, they can keep you there even longer, and they can even get to the point where they need to decontaminate you. Now, which is, in other words, I think, for usefully saying, you know, vaccinate you or make sure that you're decontaminated. In some of these states, they're also passing laws where they can take or decontaminate your house by either destroying your house or going in there and spraying it. That's one scary thought to me, you know, that the government actually has the power to tell you, hey, you know, you can't just stay at home and get sick on your own and just do your own thing like you do with every little common cold. I mean, most people, you get sick, you're going to stay home, take a few days off work anyways, you're not feeling well, you're going to get over it. You know, eat right, eat some soup, you know, take what you need for it. Do we need the government coming to us and telling us that they're going to quarantine, that they're going to decide what procedures are going to be done to make sure that we're vaccinated, that we're going to get better, especially when there's so many reports, and by their own admission, these vaccines are dangerous, and they're giving legal immunity to these vaccine companies. Now, how does this relate? I got Drew Phillips here in studio, and he's kind of broke some news that was interesting to me about Arizona. Drew, why don't you step in on the mic?
Well, you're talking about what's going on in Massachusetts and the forced vaccination stuff. When we had a great meeting last night, some of the people that work with the legislators here in Arizona came down and let us know that the governor already has the authority to impose quarantines or mass vaccinations here in Arizona. The law was passed in 2002 in the legislative session just after 9/11 over the fear there. And it was I forget what they call it, but it's a model bill that they write in some think tank in D.C. and they send it out to all the states. And I think 7 or 8 states ended up passing it then, and a few more had passed it, and there was about 12 since in 06, and then I don't know how many have passed that particular language. And they changed it a little bit, and there was something about gun confiscation in there, and Arizona got rid of that. But they still gave the governor the authority to declare a health emergency. And so if she feels, for whatever reason, there's a pandemic or there's an outbreak, or she can declare a health emergency and instruct a National Guard or local police authorities to vaccinate or, you know, quarantine people in their own homes.
What we're dealing with here is something that was started in 2002. I mean, this is nothing new. These states like Florida, Massachusetts passing these laws recently this year, and even have had laws in place. This law's been in place before. What they're doing is harmonizing the laws across the country, across the states. They're putting under the control of the CDC. Now, who is in charge? Now, who can be blamed for this? Now, who is responsible for this? Well, that's a good question. Maybe it's the WHO.
The WHO.
The World Health Organization, which under UN treaties our government signed, puts the WHO in control of our vaccine, of our what's going on in our country right now dealing with the swine flu, because they declared level 6 pandemic. Actually, they're creating a level 6.2 from what I hear, pandemic level. And this is nothing but hype, just kind of like during the Iraq war when they kept telling us that the color codes are going up and, you know, we're now level orange, level orange, level red, level red. Oh, what color can we come up with next? They're just going the numbers game. Oh, you know, starts off level 3 and now, but what do these pandemic orders say? Well, it says the WHO is, you know, these governments have to abide by what the WHO says, and, you know, they're going to come out with all sorts of vaccination plans and mass vaccination. They're, oh, you know, we got to coordinate the police and the army and everybody underneath us, and we're going to give you, you know, kind of get you governments across the world, you know, under this. And what you got in Britain, you got in Canada, all these laws come out about mass vaccination, quarantines, and they're all pretty much the same. So you have this harmonization going across the world. Why is it so important to them, Drew?
Why is it so important to us? Because it's a force issue. It's a control issue. That's the way I see it. They just want to, whether they force vaccinate us with the H1N1 or they don't, they're setting a precedent. I just saw a news report yesterday on the mainstream, lamestream media, and they were in Texas. They're doing drive-through vaccines. Don't bother turning your car off. Don't get out. Just roll up your sleeve, and we'll prick you with the needle. And that's just really scary, because that image is just conditioning people that this is normal. Everything's fine. This is, you know, go about your business as normal. So long as you get your vaccine, you're going to be okay. And I don't know if they're going to do the force thing this time around, but they're certainly setting the precedent. And how many people are sheeple enough to just go and get it without even looking into it, without even reading it, and they're just buying into the hype? If the WHO has already said that we're at a level 6, whatever that means, what's stopping the governor from declaring the health emergency? She has enough information, you know, not non-accurate information in front of her, where she could justify this health emergency.
Well, let's take a look at one of our clips. I got Judge Andrew Napolitano. Let's roll that clip.
The N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worrying that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic. Well, one state, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, is preparing for that with a very controversial bill. Massachusetts proposing legislation that would allow police to forcefully quarantine residents and even impose martial law without a warrant. Could that possibly be constitutional? We've called in Fox News senior judicial analyst, Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Hey, Steve.
So because apparently they're worried that swine flu is a public safety issue, they're talking about a law where the police can knock on your door.
Right.
Or not necessarily knock on your door, just go in and essentially quarantine you.
Well, they're doing more than talking about a law. The state of Massachusetts, both houses of the legislature have enacted this law, and once Governor Deval Patrick signs it, and he says that he will, it'll become the law, and it will allow him to declare an emergency. And once he declares an emergency, he can authorize non-healthcare licensed personnel, read that to mean police,
sure,
to vaccinate people against their will. Now, can they force adults to take vaccination? No. They will incarcerate adults without a trial, without charges, without even a search warrant, who refuse to be vaccinated. This is what the statute authorizes.
Right.
It also authorizes the statute. The statute also authorizes the police to remove children from adults, vaccinate them against the will of the child and the will of the parents.
This is so troubling on so many different levels. I mean, first of all, you think, wait a minute, they've got a great big list with everybody who got a flu shot's name on it? And are they going to just have neighbors turn in other neighbors? Hey, they're sick.
Well,
they haven't gotten the shot.
It's interesting you say that. There is not a clause in this statute that requires you to report a neighbor, but the government will encourage people to do it. Look, this is the reason why we have federal judges,
mm-hmm,
because federal judges in Massachusetts will have to take this statute and compare it to the Constitution. And the Constitution says the police can't break into your home,
right,
and the police can't take your children away from you, and parents decide what medication the children get, not the government.
Man, the first time, if this were to happen, and the first time some cop goes in and gives some kid a shot, it's going to hit the fan.
Yes, it will, and the state of Massachusetts will be sorry it enacted this, because people will revolt against it.
All right, Judge Andrew Napolitano, thank you very much.
Good to be with you, Steve. Happy birthday to Cavuto.
That's exactly right. Happy birthday, Neil.
All right, Andrew, you wanted to add, or Drew, you wanted to add something to this?
Yes, Andrew. Too many Drews in the room here. Well, that clip, you got to love the judge there, you know, because the guy asked the question. It may be unconstitutional to force, you know, as if there was a question, but
yeah.
So you know, I think the judge articulated that pretty well. That's what, you know, he said. That's why we have federal judges, because this obviously isn't constitutional. But that law, it's as scary as it gets. We were talking about the law that's passed in Arizona. This one goes well beyond that. You know, talking about $1,000 fines per day for not getting your vaccine.
Of course.
And yeah, I mean, it's just complete control of the family and, you know, government force of what you can and cannot do and will do. And actually, coincidentally, that bill is being heard in the Massachusetts Senate today, and I was just reading on the Daily Poll, they're encouraging people to call in, and the contact information's up there to call in, and, you know, if you're in Massachusetts or if you just feel like calling from another state. But if that's a preview of what's coming,
we're in trouble.
We're in a lot of trouble.
Because, you know, how I feel is that the government out there, you do not have the right to come in my home and tell me that I have to take this vaccination against my will, or else that I'll be quarantined.
Well, I wonder, are they going to, you know, when they, and as you said, they're not even going to knock, they're just going to open the door. You know, are they going to come in your house with a religious exemption form? Are they going to give you that option? You know, we have that option, supposedly, legally. We can, and it's not even religious exemption in Arizona. You can just say, I do not want to do this. But if it comes to that point where they're, you know, the governor gives them the authority and they're banging down doors, you know, how big can you hold up the religious exemption paper and say, I don't want to do it?
Does it matter? Does your rights matter? When you say that you have the rights, you know, are they going to ignore those and say, ha, I got a gun.
Well,
I'm the government. You're breaking the law.
And I think that's, you know, we're gearing up our activism here in Phoenix for this. The first responders and the police, the firefighters, the healthcare professionals, the health workers, these are the people that they're going to try to vaccinate first. And that's who these nasal sprays, 60,000 nasal sprays that have shown up here in Arizona are for. But it's scary because if the cops get vaccinated, what's going to stop them from vaccinating us?
And what did we learn last night? That here in Arizona, in the metropolitan area, they have 5 million vaccines already ordered is what we're told. And that this honest way here...
And there's only 6 million people in the state.
Yeah, only 6 million people in the state. There's less than 5 million people here in the whole valley. So where are they going? They're bringing all these vaccines in. Are they going to use them? Are they going to just keep them on ice? Are they going to throw them away? Is it another boondoggle?
Well, the money's been spent and Big Pharma cashed out on this one. So whether they force them or use them or not, Big Pharma's already in, you know, the companies that are that are making these vaccines have already cashed out. The government's already written the check and they're going to make all these. And if they get a chance to use them all, we'll see. But it's scary that they plan this stuff. I mean, that's proof right there. If they ordered 5 million, you think they expect to use them all.
Perhaps a big pharma industry needed its bailout.
Well, what was the... Yeah, there you go. What was the statistic was that in Arizona in previous years, only 1 million people chose to go get the seasonal flu. So you have a 4 million vial increase.
Yeah.
So do they expect that 4 million people are going to buy the hype or are they going to force it?
Yeah. And I was talking to my sister the other day on the phone. She lives in Texas. And she was saying that these vaccination centers, these mobile vaccination centers, are everywhere. They're in the airports, they're down in social services, they're every government, you know, public installation that you can think of, they're showing up. They're asking, "No, have you had your vaccine lately? Would you like it?" What, you know, they're putting out all these mobile things, and I'm reading articles that are saying that they're training here in Arizona. So if you go to Governor Jan Brewer's website here in Arizona even, and I'm sure there's many similar things in other states, and you should be proactive and check these things out in the state that you live in. But here in Arizona, they're saying, "Oh, you know, we're getting training from the CDC and the, you know, FEMA or whatever to how to run mass vaccination centers, how to set up, how to prepare our hospitals to take in an influx of people." All this training.
It's scary. I mean, I don't know what to say about it. And I think that was, you know, yet last night we had a meeting. We had people from all over the valley, people we'd never even met, come out because they were genuinely concerned and really freaked out about this. And when you see this stuff like, you know, the CDC and some of the fear mongering that they're hyping, you know, it gives you pause and you have to wonder how much force they're going to use and just if they really are going to track down every last person and, you know, make sure they get this shot. So,
yeah. With the quarantine checkpoints. Now we got here in Arizona, since we're a border state. You know, we got all these. You've listened to Pastor Steve Anderson and, you know, his border, you know, confrontations where he got beat up and stuff. So we got border checkpoints, you know, 100, 200 miles inland, and they're just setting up all these cross state checkpoints. Now, it doesn't take much for them to turn those into quarantine vaccine checkpoints. As a matter of fact, this morning when I was reading on the governor's website, as a matter of fact, they're training them how to decontaminate. And we'll talk about that when we come back. But this stuff is going, seriously, is going to affect us all. Do you want to be traveling and be stopped by anybody at a quarantine checkpoint? We'll get back to that.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
This is Andrew Strimmick on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Well, Ernest Hancock is away. You can call in today about the swine flu vaccine. Any information? Have you been harassed at any checkpoints? Have you been harassed at your work? Do you feel pressured? Do you feel like your children are being told that they have to take it at school? Please call in at 1-800-313-9443. Again, that's 1-800-313-9443. We'll be taking calls on this subject today, so please call in. Now, you know, Donna, you were actually mentioning something during the break here.
Yes, my daughter is a medical biller and coder, and just the beginning of October, they started taking billing and coding information for doctor's offices, and what she noticed, that I guess they have to know all the laws and what they can code certain ways. Basically, what she said was that the doctor's offices can't charge for the vaccine, They can only charge for the service, so their labor that it would, you know, cost to give it. But what we're finding out is the government is just giving this out for free to anybody. And the companies that you see at, like, Walgreens locally here, it's a drugstore, or any of your local supermarkets in whatever area you're in, those companies, I really don't know who they are, but they charge 15, 20, 25 bucks a whack for to poison you. So it's just an interesting thing. The government is just really pushing it out there.
Man, you know, I can't believe our tax money. We're paying for this, people out here. You know, our money is going towards hurting people. You know, when can I opt out of that? You know, where's my little form saying I don't want my money going towards this little death serum here?
Well, it flabbergasted me that, you know, we made the joke a minute ago that it was a bailout, and apparently that's what it is, because, you know, the government or our money paid the bill for all these vaccines, and like we said, you know, last year they only did 1 million in Arizona, yet they get 5 million. So, yeah, Baxter and the other one is Novartis, and these guys are cashing out big, whether they use the thing or not. That's not the point. These guys have already made their money. Yeah. They ship them out. And now they, you know, it's up to whoever, the government or the, you know, the governor here in Arizona, to figure out if she's going to force all 5 million on us. But, you know, so we got odds there, because maybe you and I and Donna and everybody else, we can be in that 1 million that they didn't account for. They get, you know, they 5 million vaccines and 6 million in the state. So 1 million of us will be okay. But, you know, that's just not a good situation for the other 5 million that this thing's going to get forced down upon. And you were talking about the checkpoints that we have here in Arizona. They're building a permanent one down in Green Valley. And they've got them, you know, all over. In Texas, I said that, you know, they're doing the drive-through thing. When we were in Walgreens, Jet and I went and...
drive-through and get your vaccine!
Yeah, you know, can I have a cheeseburger and a Coke with that? You know, I mean, what is it, like McDonald's? But at Walgreens, and like Donna said, it's at Walmart and Walgreens, or Walmart and Fry's anyway. It's a private company, and I don't know, Jet knew, it was some guy... some local radio personality is like part of this company. And so, you know, there's a conflict there that he's on his own radio show promoting this thing. And hey, go to my company. And they get $24.99. They get every penny of it because the vaccine's already paid for. So that is kind of sounds like a sham to me. But, you know, you're supposed to have a doctor's prescription for the seasonal flu anyway.
Sure.
You're supposed to go to your doctor and say, doctor, I feel like I should get my vaccine. And your doctor says, yes, you should. And he gives you a prescription. Then you go to Walgreens and you get it. When they start doing the vaccines, you know, can I stand up and say, you know, I talked to my doctor and my doctor said I don't need this? I mean, or are they just going to stick the needle in my arm anyway? So,
right. You know, the encouragement here. And there's reports coming in of people getting taking their nasal vaccination spray or taking their shots and collapsing, you know, outside, going in seizures, you know, just having all sorts of problems. You know, this is clearly dangerous. And that drive-through vaccine.
Give out the number.
Again, I want to give out the number 1-800-313-9443. Call in if you got any information or you got anything you want to talk about related to the vaccines.